If you're visiting with us this morning, I'd ask you to tear off the end of the bulletin. And there's a spot there for, it's called Let's Connect. And if you're visiting with us, fill that out and drop it in the offering plate that's coming around during the service. A few announcements. Of course, most of it's on the bulletin there. Next week starts the new series, Answering the Big Questions that you've been turning in so diligently. Youth camp is in there. We're actually going to send some folks and an old folk to youth camp. And Awana's going on every Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour. An additional thing for the Sunday school class that typically meets in here, next Sunday we'll meet in the fellowship hall. All right, so next Sunday, Sunday school will be in the fellowship hall, okay? Also a reminder, there's an insert in your bulletin about the Behind the Walls Prison Ministry for men and women. You should sign up right away because the sign-up will be full. And once you've signed up, be sure and let me know that you signed up so we can organize travel and hotels and all that kind of stuff. All right? I don't think there are any other announcements, so let's stand and we'll pray and worship together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning to worship you. We think of the lives lost in sacrifice for our nation and for the freedoms that you've bestowed upon us. We lift up those families today, Lord, that are reminded of their grief. But help us, Lord, to turn not to the flag, but to the cross for the answers and for our freedoms. And as we praise you for that, we give you ourselves today for praise and worship. As we learn from your word, let us be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we have a future because of what you have done for us. We love you and we worship you and we praise you today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. When the roll is called, I will be there. But is yonder a word? Jesus told us in John chapter 14, ask me anything and I'll do it. We're going to be continuing to explore what that means to us. But as we worship him, let's tell him how much we love him.
Hymn 79, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
I read.
as our ushers come forward, please pray with me. Father, we thank you for loving us. And our prayer is that we love you more with every day. That you give us to move and breathe and be a part of this world. And in that, you have given us so much. And this is our way of worshiping you and giving back. May you bless the gift and the giver. And may it be used to your good and your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have doubted you. I wish I could tell my younger self just to have faith. There's so many mountains you have moved, valleys you have led me through. And it's only by your grace I'm standing here today. I'm a witness to your faithfulness in every storm, in every step. Looking back, never once did you let me go. And no matter what the future holds, you're working for my good. I know you're faithful, and I never walk alone. My life is miracles, the stories that I could tell. All that you've healed, all that you've done, I can't forget. So even if my life doesn't go the way I plan or how I hope, our history has shown you've never
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we are never alone, that you have promised that you are always with us and you never break your word. As we open your scripture today, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Let the words that are spoken be yours and draw us into you, that we might be closer to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I have a pop quiz this morning. If you got a bulletin, you have one of these sheets. If you need one of these sheets, the ushers will get you one right now. This is one of those things, we're going to have some fun here, so be in this. So if you need a sheet, not those, Robert, just the sheet. Everybody got one? Just the sheet. Just the sheet. Anybody still need a sheet? Mark, behind you. I ask you to be completely honest with yourself. Nobody's going to see these. You're not going to turn them in. Don't put your name on them. Just be completely honest with yourself, okay? For the first question, I want you to get in your mind, don't say this out loud, but get in your mind your most favorite person on this planet. Get that person in your mind. Everybody got one? Question number one, if that person asked you for $100, would you give it to them? Yes or no? Question number two, if a complete stranger asked you for $100, would you give it to them? I'm not looking for any spiritual answers in here. This is complete honesty. Question number three, if the person from question number one asked you to borrow your car, would you give it to them? If they had a driver's license. Question number four. If a complete stranger asked you to borrow your car, would you give it to them? Question number five. If the person from question number one showed up on your doorstep and said, I need to move in with you, if they don't already live with you, let's say they don't, I need to move in with you for a little bit, would you let them? Want to guess what question number six is? If a complete stranger shows up at your door and says, I need to move in with you for a little bit, would you let them? All right. Put that aside. We'll come back to it in a little bit. I have a question for you. Do you want to know how to get God to do what you want Him to do when you're praying? Anybody want to know the answer to that question, the keys to getting God to do what you want Him to do for you when you're praying? Anybody? Anybody want to know that? I bet we do. I'm going to give you three keys to making that happen this morning with our prayer life. Number one, you have to have faith that He'll do it. You have to have faith. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to start reading at verse 14. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into fire or into water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Verse 17, Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring me the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him, and from that moment the boy was well. Afterwards, the disciples asked him privately, "Jesus, why couldn't we cast out that demon?" Look at verse 20. "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible." Nothing would be impossible. This is the disciples who spent 3 years with Jesus, up close and personal. And he's saying, "Jesus, why couldn't we do this?" And he's saying, "You don't have enough faith. Even if you had the faith of a mustard seed." I have a visual for you that the ushers are going to give you a mustard seed. I've heard this passage all my life, and I think about mustard seeds and how big is that? Jesus is telling the disciples, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And he told the disciples, "You don't have that much faith." That's not a lot of faith. That's not a lot of faith. Now, I could preach on this passage all day, and one of the things every time I read this passage, I want to be clear on, Jesus seems a little aggravated here, and it's not at the disciples that he's aggravated with. He's aggravated with us of saying, "This is all you need. That's all you need." How can the disciples not have that much faith? I don't think there is any of us who read that passage and believe that we can literally move mountains. But Jesus says, if you have faith in me, nothing is impossible. And look how much you need. Look how much you need. It's right there in your little jar. That's all you need. That's it. That's the first key to getting God to do what you want Him to do when you're praying. You got to have that much. That much. The second thing is that you and I have to pray in His name. Now we say that. We say it. So many times you hear people praying in Jesus' name. That's not the key, okay? The words are not the key. The intent is the key. Turn with me over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to start reading at verse 16. John 16, 16. This is Jesus talking. In a little while, you won't see me anymore. But a little while after that, you will see me again. He's talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. Some of the disciples were asking each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while, you won't see me, but then you'll see me, and I am going to the Father. Verse 18. And what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it, so he said to them, you are asking yourselves what I meant. And I said, in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me again. Verse 23, at that time you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. Verse 24, you haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Paul Harvey told the story of a little boy who he and his mother were going into the grocery store, and she said to him, we're not getting any chocolate chip cookies today. Don't ask. He shook his head. Okay. She puts him in the buggy. She goes in to the store. He's looking. He's quiet. They come to the aisle where the cookies are. He can't help himself. He says, Mom, can we have some chocolate chip cookies? She said, no, and I told you not to ask. They go on about their shopping. For some reason or another, they had to go back to that aisle to get some. She forgot. He asked again, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? She said, no, I told you, and I told you not to ask. They finish their grocery shopping, and they get up to the front where the checkout line is. He's sensing this is his last opportunity. He stands up in the buggy and he yells to the top of his voice, in Jesus' name, can I please get some chocolate chip cookies? The crowd at the register applauded, and the little boy went home with 26 bags of chocolate chip cookies that had been donated to him. What does it mean for you and I to pray in Jesus' name? What is Jesus trying to get us to understand here when he tells us and he's telling the disciples, you haven't done this before, but now come to the Father and ask in my name. The first thing he is wanting us to do is to acknowledge his intercession for us. You see, up until the point where he died on the cross to pay for our sins, we couldn't even approach God. You understand that? Our sin was the void that kept us from even being able to approach God, period, much less ask him for anything. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're acknowledging that he's our only ticket to God. The second thing that we're doing is we are submitting to his will. Because you and I have to understand, without Jesus, we don't even have a path to God. So when I go and ask, not only am I acknowledging Jesus, but I'm also submitting to his will. Because I don't have any road to even go ask without him. The third key for you and I to get God to do what we want him to do when we're praying is we have to have a sincere heart. A sincere heart. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If we have faith and we're praying in Jesus' name, which means I'm more focused on Jesus than I am me, my requests begin to get different. And when I come to Him with sincere heart, look at Hebrews 10, verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtains into the most holy place. Verse 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting Him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let me tell you what that means. Okay? When we come before Christ with a sincere heart, because of our faith, because we're praying in His name, what we care about changes. And let me illustrate this to you. Remember your pop quiz? I'm betting, if we're honest, most of us have yeses for the odd number and no for the even number. When you go before God to ask Him for something, are you the person with a deep relationship, the number one, the odd numbers? Are you an even number person who's a complete stranger who doesn't show up until you're asking God for something you need? Are you an even number person or an odd number? Because when you're an odd number person, the world doesn't understand you because you're very odd. The things that you care about are not what the even number people are cared about. And when you begin to ask for things, the things that you ask for are what God wants. Now, does that mean I can't ask Him for anything? No, He said ask me for anything. Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. I want to illustrate that to you. Watch this.
On April 13th, 2013, Ronwyn Kendrick wrote a very specific prayer on a sticky note. She wrote it down but didn't tell anybody. She planted that sticky note in her Bible, in faith that if it were God's will, He would bring the request about. A lot of Mrs. Kendrick's life is spent planting seeds, in faith that something beautiful will grow.
I love being outdoors. I guess it's part of growing up on the farm and planting something and then just watching it grow.
You can take the girl out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the girl. And so she goes out and works outside all the time.
For the spring garden, we planted green beans.
It's therapy for her.
Sweet potatoes.
It's a joy for her.
Squash.
To get her hands dirty and see something bloom.
Zucchini.
She has transformed her backyard from an ugly backyard into something very beautiful over the years.
Last year, I tried corn. That didn't work.
Mrs. Kendrick not only cultivates her garden every day, she also cultivates a close relationship with the Lord.
In the mornings, I like to take my Bible and I go to my kitchen table and I put my Bible on the table and I stand. If I stand, I don't doze off and I just start praying.
And Mrs. Kendrick uses a lot of scripture when she prays.
In the mornings, I like to read Psalm 23, "The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want." And then Psalm 25, "Show us your ways, O Lord, teach us your paths." Deuteronomy 28, "We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed is the fruit of our body." The verse is in Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Psalm 37, "Delight thyself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. This is the day the Lord hath made." Psalm 118, "We will rejoice and be glad in." Isaiah 54, "All your children shall be taught of the Lord." I've been quoting this for years. Galatians 3, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." Psalm 91, "We will say of the Lord, He is our refuge. He covers us with His feathers. Under His wings do we trust."
At a young age, Mrs. Kendrick discovered the power of prayer in a very dramatic way.
I was 6 years old. This was on April the 1st, 1948.
A tornado came and it hit their property where there was a farm.
And I remember Mother taking my sister Carol and my sister Bonnie and me, and she put us under the kitchen table.
And she says she remembers looking up and watching her mother cry out to God.
I remember her just crying out to the Lord. But she was just crying at the top of her voice, asking the Lord to protect us.
Well, a few minutes later, the sound died down. They walked outside, and all around them, there was devastation.
The roof to our barn, which was the next to the house, was blown off.
And they never found that roof.
Two huge oak trees in front of our house across the highway had fallen down.
Power lines were down in the front yard. The church across the street was rocked off of its foundation, but their house was left intact and preserved.
Our house was not touched. I think I learned from that we need to be able to call on God anytime, any circumstance, that God is near, that He loves us. And I saw a very quick answer to prayer.
When Ronwin married Larry Kendrick and began a family, they made prayer a big part of their daily lives.
Before our children were born, my husband and I prayed over them that the Lord would have His will, His way with them.
Mom and Dad made prayer a part of everything that they did. You know, we're not only praying before meals, but we're praying before major decisions. One thing that we would see in our parents is they wouldn't hold back in their prayer lives. You know, they wouldn't pray just small prayers, but they believed that God could provide, He could protect, He could do things. So there was a sense of the Lord is able to carry us through this and provide what we need.
Today, all three of the Kendrick brothers, Shannon, Alex, and Stephen, are involved in filmmaking. And on the set of each film, prayer has been a crucial part of their process.
All five of the films that we have produced have really been a string of one answered prayer after another. We're praying as we're writing. We haven't had the script writing training, so we're laying it before the Lord saying, "Would you enable us to develop these characters?" As we're casting, we're praying over the casting process. Every day on set, we'll have a prayer team a part of that. We're dedicating the day to the Lord. And then we have prayer warriors that we will email each week and say, "Here's how you can pray for us. Here's what's coming up." So we have seen, again, consistently that when we bathe things in prayer, when we fight our battles in prayer first, the Lord is faithful to answer those.
Their most recent film went to number one at the box office. It was specifically about prayer.
We didn't know what was going to happen with it. But War Room was more successful. The impact has been even more far-reaching than the other films. And so we can see now that the timing was perfect for a call to prayer to the church. I think the character of Miss Clara was the combination of many godly elderly women that we've known over the years, and our mother is definitely one of those who helped inspire that character. Oftentimes we'll call and we'll say, "Mom, here's what's going on. Here's how we need your prayer support." As we're traveling, as we're working on production, she's praying for us, and we consistently see the rewards of that. We know, you can sense sometimes, there's somebody who's been praying for me. And so I am so grateful for a praying mom.
Over the years, as her sons gained a national platform to speak about the Lord, Mrs. Kendrick preferred to be at home. She's been spending her time caring for her husband, who's been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, praying for hours in her kitchen, and of course, taking care of her garden.
One thing that we saw happen, though, is she would be out there working hard by herself, and she'd be carrying buckets, and she's in her 70s, you know, and carrying fertilizer and those kind of things. And we would say, Mom, you need to be really careful. If something happened to you, since you take care of Dad, you know, it could be tough on everybody. You know, we want you to be safe and to be healthy and to be in a good place. I woke up on a Saturday morning, the day of her birthday, and I sat up in bed, and I had this strong feeling that I needed to go buy Mom a golf cart. And so I called my brothers and my dad, and I said, golf carts, thousands of dollars. What if we all pulled our money together and got her a golf cart? And they all said, yes, let's do it. So we all went over to Mom's house. All 19 grandchildren are over there. Mom and Dad are there. We said, Mom, we have a birthday gift to give for you. So we took her outside. We said, we need you to close your eyes. And we pulled this golf cart around.
And in just a couple of minutes, he said, you can open your eyes.
And she opened her eyes, and then Mom started to cry.
And he had driven up in a red golf cart. And I looked at it, and it was hard to believe.
She said, I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Now, do you remember the prayer that Mrs. Kendrick wrote on that sticky note? She wrote that down about a week before her birthday. And when she received the golf cart, she went and got that note out of her Bible and read it to the family.
And it said, Dear Heavenly Father,
based on John 16:23, I ask for a golf cart for my birthday. I ask for a golf cart in excellent condition, a beautiful golf cart that I will love. So I'm asking you, Lord, if you would give me for my birthday a golf cart.
She had prayed that and written it down and not told anybody, and just between her and the Lord. And so we were so excited because we brought all the kids around and we said, listen to this. Mama Kay was praying for a golf cart for her birthday, didn't tell anybody. And this morning, the Lord prompted us to go buy her a golf cart.
Look with me at Psalm 37. Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's what you and I need to be. When we have faith, when we pray in His name, and we're sincere in our heart changes, and we're so focused on what He wants that God will even give you a golf cart if you want one. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for loving us. I thank You for the desire to be involved in our lives. Father, I thank You that You tell us we can ask You for anything. Father, let us have hearts that are sincere, that are focused on You. Let us have the faith of a mustard seed. Let us be focused on Your desires. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.